乐。
Merry Christmas。
我在这里要告诉我们一件很重要的事情，就是你们知道耶稣什么时候降生的吗？
我只 want to ask a very important question. Do you know when Jesus was born?
我知道人举手。
If you know, raise your hand.
昨天晚上来做礼拜人就知道。
Yeah, if you're here yesterday evening, you would know.
耶稣绝对不是在12月25号生。
Yeah, there's no possibility that Christ was born on 12/25.
而且耶稣的确他的生日不知道，而且哪一年也不知道。
Yeah, we have no clue when at all.
所以有一些历史学家说，那耶稣可能不存在。
And so there's some that assume that Christ can't exist because there's no date of birth.
我再次告诉我们诸位，为什么我们不知道耶稣的生日？
So we wanna share with you why Jesus' birth is not in existence.
因为耶稣基督降生的时候，他宁愿出生在最卑微的家庭里面。
Because Christ was born in one of the lowest households.
他要认同所有人类每一个人。
So that he can experience all of humanity.
他可以降生在君王的家。
And he could be born in royalty.
但是他是王子的话。
He is the king of kings. Prince of priests.
他跟人家没有距离，距离太大。
If he's in that high place, there's no way he can connect with the regular people.
他跟所有很贫穷的人一样，在古代连生日都不知道。
So he gathered just like everybody in that antiquity time, the birthdays they have no clue.
所以耶稣基督降生的时候，没有人知道他的确的日子。
That's why when Jesus was born, no one knows the exact date of his birth.
只知道说当时古代有一个皇帝下命令。
Yeah, all we know is that at that time there was a king with a decree.
罗马皇帝告诉所有他的属民说：“回你们老家去登记你们的户口。”
The Emperor of Rome declared to the world that go back to your hometown and number yourself in the census.
大概是哪一年？大概知道。
And we know exactly around the time that year was.
但是什么日期不知道。
However, date we're not too sure.
从圣经里面的记载里面告诉我们说，耶稣出生的时候大概是。在春天到秋，到夏天之间。
All we can think about is that Christ was born around springtime to summertime.
因为当时在耶路撒冷的外面有那个草地，那个时候草地是在春天才有草可以放羊。
Because it's in Jerusalem, in Israel, it's only around springtime where the grass will be enough for sheep to graze.
然后请问为什么耶稣我们用12月25号在庆祝？
So I want to ask, why do we celebrate Christ on December 25th?
你知道耶稣开始被纪念庆祝他的生日不是在出生以后，大概是公元第四世纪第五世纪才开始。
Because we only started celebrating Christmas around 14th, 15th century.
No, 5th or 4th.
5th or 4th centuries.
为什么你知不知道？
Do you know why?
因为当初最初三百年，耶稣以后的三百年，信耶稣被抓到就是砍头。
Because before that, 300 years after Christ, if you believed in Christ, you would be martyred, you would be killed.
所以谁敢出来庆祝耶稣的生日
？So who will celebrate Christ's birth?
做基督徒都要东藏多躲东躲西藏。
There's a lot of hiding in order to be the follower of Jesus at that time.
直到罗马帝国第一位皇帝做基督徒以后
，until the first emperor of Rome that became a Christian.
那就是很出名的康斯坦丁大帝
，and that's the Emperor Constantine.
他不但信耶稣
，he's not just a believer of Jesus.
他把基督信仰提高，甚至成为国教。
He brought Christianity into the state.
从那个时候开始，人家还想说：“哎，耶稣的出生很重要，我们要纪念呐。”
It was that time where people started to recognize the importance of Christ's birth.
那糟糕，什么时候
？So oh no, what day is that?
不知道
，they didn't know.
当时罗马帝国，特别是在罗马城，有一个非常糟糕、非常恶劣的习惯。
And so in that time, in the kingdom of Rome, there was a really bad ritual that they do.
就是他们每一年在年尾的时候，十二月他们庆祝什么呢？他们有一个狂欢节。
And so they would celebrate in the end of the year, around the end of December, a celebration called Sol Invictus.
所以那个节日呢，是皇冠，反正这一年过去了，明年还能不能活不知道。所以年轻人老的，大家狂欢一下。
So it's because at the end of the year, they don't know if next year is going to happen, so they just gather together and just celebrate, like, let's just wild it out.
所以很多淫乱的事情，乱七八糟的事情，喝酒的事情，醉酒的事情，杀人的事情都在发生。
So all the chaos happens in that time.
当时的教会说，我们怎么样帮助人改变这种坏习惯？
And so the church had to ask the question, how do we resolve the issue and the darkness in the world at that time?
当时的教会就想说，来一个好的办法。
And so the church had a great idea.
因为我们不知道耶稣什么时候出生。
Because we didn't know when the birth of Christ is.
我们就把那个狂欢节宣布说是耶稣的生日。
So then we're going to turn Sol Invictus into the birth of Christ day.
让我们记得耶稣降生的意义，把那个坏习惯全部改过来。
So it's the idea that when Christ was born is to defeat the chaos.
结果教会成功了。
And the church was successful.
现在我们忘记了那是狂欢节。
And so today we have no clue what Sol Invictus is.
但是我们知道我们在纪念耶稣的生日。
But we remind ourselves of Christ's birth on this.
因为耶稣基督来到这个世界就是要改变世界。
Because when Christ came to this world, he came to change the world.
耶稣基督来就是要改变人的生命。
God came, Christ came to change humanity.
这是他降生为人最重要的目的。
And this is an important objective and mission on earth.
我们基督徒称说那叫做拯救。
And so we recognize that this is what saving is.
让人的生命可以被改变。
For humanity to change their heart.
而不是在今生有意义。
It's not, so it's no longer that now we have a calling and mission and purpose.
而且有未来的盼望。
And we also have a hope for the future.
因为我们有一天离开这个世界，我们知道我们往哪里去。
Because when we leave this world, we know where we're going.
那将是最大的祝福。
And that's the greatest blessing.
所以值得我们庆祝。
So this is why we celebrate.
所以请你不要以为说，哦，我们庆祝12月20号是耶稣的生日。
So let's not just focus on the idea that, oh, we're just celebrating the birth of Christ.
但是有很多教会就说，哦，那我就不要庆祝了。
Yeah, so there's a lot of churches out there that said, oh, we don't need to celebrate this. It's not important.
对我的看法，那也是错误。
And in Pastor Chang's mindset, that's a bad thought.
为什么这两千年来，因着耶稣的生日改变了多少人？
Why? Because the idea is, you have to recognize the reminder of Christ's birth have changed so many people's lives throughout the years.
为什么我们不能够庆祝？
Why should we not celebrate this?
其实不是只有庆祝10月25号，每一天我们要感谢耶稣基督来到，耶稣基督来到这个世界。
And it's not just on Christmas Day that we celebrate Christ's coming, but we celebrate Christ's coming every single day of our lives.
求主帮助我们。
So Lord help us.
我今天要跟江牧师一起分享信息。
So today Pastor Chang and I will share the word.
我要请江牧师先用英语讲，讲完以后帮他翻译，然后我讲中文，又他帮我翻作英语。
Yes, I'll share my message first, and then Pastor Chan will translate, and then afterwards, Pastor Chan will share his message, and I'll translate.
好，我们一起来祷告，就把时间交给江牧师。
Yes, let us pray this moment, and then I will begin. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us together. Lord, today is a special day for us to remind ourselves of your coming, and you will come again. But Lord, the greatest things that happened as you have came to us, Lord. Lord, you have really changed humanity once and for all. And Lord, we want to learn these principles, Lord, so that we take it not just on Christmas Day as we celebrate, but every single day, really recognizing Christ has came and you will come again. So Lord, may the word be heard and spoken with power and might.And may it be received well for all. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So friends, my message will be coming from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25.
我们一起来读圣经。马太福音第一章。
Verse 18 to 25, Matthew chapter 1.
从第18节念到21节。
Okay. So I'll read it in English, and then Pastor Chang will read it in Chinese.
江牧师会念英语，然后我会帮我们一起念中文。
So Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to 25. The word of the Lord says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
马太福音第一章十八节，弟兄姊妹，你如果有圣经的话，请你跟我一起来诵读马太福音。第一章十八节，来，耶稣基督降生的事记在下面。他母亲玛利亚已经许配了约瑟，还没有迎娶，玛利亚就从圣灵怀了孕。她丈夫约瑟是个义人，不愿明明的羞辱她，想要暗暗的把她休了。正思念这事的时候，有主的使者向他梦中显现，说，大卫的子孙约瑟不要怕，只管娶过你的妻子玛利亚来，因为她所怀的孕是从圣灵来的，她将要生一个儿子，你要给他起名叫耶稣，因他要将自己的百姓从罪恶里救出来。这一切的事成就是要应验主借着先知所说的话，说必有童女怀孕生子，人要称他的名为以马内利。以马内利翻出来就是神与我们同在。约瑟醒了起来，就遵着主使者的吩咐把妻子娶过来，只是没有和他同房，等他生了儿子就给他起名叫耶稣。
Thank you, Pastor Jane. Friends, if you're curious, the title for my message is God with us and God save us. And so I'm going to begin with this. When you have somebody around to do things with, things are much different than doing it by yourself. It's always great to have somebody around us when we're in joy. How many of you guys like to celebrate alone? That's some celebration you have if you do, right? It's always better to celebrate with someone. I think in the moments when we are in our worst, in our sad moments, it's always better when we have someone to have a shoulder to cry on, isn't it? Unless you really like body pillows, then we need to talk, right? But also at the same time, some of you guys might giggle on this, but remember, the scripture says that all are sinners. When we get caught doing something, it's always better when you're with somebody, isn't it? You know, growing up, I always loved when we make mistakes at home, because I could always just blame it on my sister. But it never works, and she blames it on me, and so she gets scot-free, right? It's always better when we do things with someone. And it's a concept and proof on Christmas, the idea of Christ is coming. God proves this point to us. It's important for us to be together. And one of the things I think God has proved us at first, in the beginning of the Word of God, is this concept and idea is that humanity should not be alone. And he proved this with Adam. That's why Eve was made a perfect partner for humanity. But as we hear in the Christmas story, it proves another point that oftentimes getting disregarded is the fact is that humanity cannot be apart from God. Because apart from God, there is no life. And so Christ chose to come onto this earth. And if you were with us yesterday, we shared a conversation about the fact is that he came from the highest of high. into the lowest of lows just to be with us so that he can really be the God with us with the purpose and intention to save us. This is a popular text and common text, so we don't have to exegete it too much. But the story goes like this. Of course, Joseph was engaged to Mary. And before they were married, he found out that Mary has conceived. And of course, we knew it's from the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, being a good guy, he said that I'm going to hold off and quietly divorce her in the future. But in one evening, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and told him, chill out. I'm going to tell you what's going on. This is what you will do. And what you will do is Mary is going to bear a child through the Holy Spirit, and you're going to name him Jesus. And the narrative says that for he will save the people from their sins. And Matthew also, as a good Matthew guy writing this gospel, he pulls an interesting reminder and idea from Isaiah, calling that he will also be the Emmanuel, the God with us. When we celebrate Christmas, it's a reminder of that purpose and point that God came to save the world. God could have came and saved the world through the comforts of the heavenly realm. He could have been on his heavenly throne to save this world, but he chose to come down to earth so that he can be with the people. He's with us in all of our days. So to save time today, I'm just going to give you guys three areas and ideas of where Christ is with us in our everyday areas. And so the first area that Christ has always been in is in our joys. Christ is there in our joys. You know, Jesus is with us in our joys. Ironically, I think a lot of times this is the area of joy that we tend to forget that Jesus is there. I think a lot of times is when we are not, when we are happy, excited, we forget about Jesus. Unfortunately, ironically, a good chunk of the Psalms is always talking about praising. And the praising times is always talking about what God has done. And I think it's a good, important reminder for us to realize, are we really seeing the idea that God is with us in our joys? You know, God is with us in our joys, even if we celebrate alone, because we're loners and we like to celebrate alone. That even in those moments when it feels like no one is around, he was there in your joy. Today we're going to celebrate baptism, and today we have about 14 people throughout our church network getting baptized. And I don't know if you remember your baptism story. Maybe some of you guys were infants. Others of you guys had. But baptism is a celebration. It's probably one of the most exciting experiences as a follower of Jesus. Unfortunately, on my baptism in my church, when I was getting baptized, the youth pastor didn't get the memo. So I went alone into a Korean adult service for my baptism alone. It was pretty sad, right? You know, my girlfriend at the time, my wife, wasn't there. None of my youth group friends were there. I was there alone, not knowing anything. The senior pastor just tell me every time I say something in Korean, just say yes. Right? It was sad, but also exciting. For some reason, even in the midst that I was alone, something was happening where there was an abundance of joy. And you learn one thing is that even in your joy, God was there. God was with us. It's kind of what Jesus says, right? In especially like Luke 15, it says that heaven rejoices when a sinner comes to him. Are we seeing Jesus in our joy? He's with us in our joy. The second area Jesus is with us is in our pain. Jesus often tends to magnify himself in our sorrows. I think contemporary theologian C.S. Lewis shares as well. He says that it's in our pain and suffering, he shouts in our pain. It's a megaphone to rouse a deaf world. We sense God in the midst of our pain and sorrow. We see him well. And I think a lot of us, when we share our story of how do we believe in Jesus, it tends to be that sorrow story a lot of times. Because God has got us through and carried us through because we sense him, we feel him, we experience him in the midst of our pain and sorrow. And unfortunately, we live in a fallen world and no one leaves this earth unscathed of sorrow and pain. Especially if you work in ministry, you realize that sorrow and pain drives basically a lot of times in ministry. Modern theologian Reverend Dr. John C. Chang shares this and he calls it tuition. Right? You can read countless books of great spiritual leaders, their biographies, and every every spiritual leader that has yet to fall in my observation has always shared deep in their heart of their brokenness, of their hardships and difficulties. And you realize that the ways that they have overcame all of that is recognizing the understanding that Jesus was with them in their pain and sorrows. In my short tenure of pastoring and ministering for youth, especially youth are terrible. They will hurt your heart. They will break your heart. They'll tell you that they'll come back from college and they never do. They'll tell you that they'll call you when they're in college and they never do. They'll tell you that they'll give you your mailing address for your college place and they never do. And you're still waiting for them and your Thanksgiving gift is in my house and I ate it, right? But the pain and sorrow builds up. But it's in those moments of sorrow that you look towards God and you realize why you do what you do and that you continue moving forward. Jesus is with us through our pain and sorrow. And lastly, I think the more important piece is that we tend to often forget is Jesus is within our sinfulness. He's with us when we sin. We don't really notice that. We tend to kind of say, I think Pastor Chang shared this yesterday when we were in our baptism interviews, we tend to say, Jesus, I'm taking a day off from you. I'm taking my PTO. I'm going to go do my sins and come back to you. But he's not leaving us. He's holding hands with you as you sin. I think a lot of times we recognize because we see him tugging at us. He's holding hands with you, and as we sin, you feel that tug. And you're basically telling him, Jesus, you stay put. I'm going to do my thing and I'm going to come back. You sit there and watch me do it. And you're going to like it. We don't think we say this, but unconsciously we do. But he was there. He watched you sin. He was there in our sinfulness. But it's because he was there in our sinfulness that the God with us is the God who saves us. Because he has seen and he has witnessed our sinfulness, and therefore he can save us. He watches us. He knows exactly what we do. And if we are honest and full of heart and we turn and we confess and we repent to him, he will save us. Because he's a God that saw everything. He's not going to say, how could you? Why? Because he was there. And one of the amazing things is that we realize this as we parallel this to life, but we don't recognize it in our faith journey walk. I remember when I was younger, as a middle schooler, I was a bad kid. So, guys, there's hope for you. I hope. It's not too late. I was a bad kid. I hung out with a bad crowd. And one time, as I was doing bad things with bad friends, one friend changed my life forever because we got caught doing something dumb. And he literally took all the blame. And I tried to say, like, oh, well, you know, I'm in this too. But he kept saying, no, I did this alone in my own accord. It rattled me inside. He was there. He saw, he experienced. I did most of the bad deed. He was just there experiencing it. But he took the blame for me. And I realized that that friend really cared about me. That he got suspended and I stayed normal. This is what Christ is doing in us. He's watching us in our sorrows. So Jesus is with us in our joys, in our pains, within our sinfulness, ready to be the one who saves us. So this Christmas season, as we celebrate it today, would you take a moment to meditate, to look at where the presence of God, the Emmanuel, is with us. And if for some of us, if we are in need of a Savior, realize that he's with us and therefore he can save us. So friends, as we celebrate Christmas, may we put that in our hearts. Amen.
那我简单的来帮江牧师刚才所说的信息跟我们回想一下。江牧师在告诉我们说，我们很多人呢， 总是盼望有伴侣，对不对？特别是在我们喜乐的时候，我们盼望有人跟我们一起喜乐；我们悲哀的时候，也盼望有人跟我们一起悲哀；或者是我们觉得孤单的时候，我们更需要有一个伴，是不是？所以不管是喜乐，不管是悲哀，或者不管是我们孤单的时候，我们总是盼望有一个伴，因为有一个伴， 这个是上帝的创造。上帝告诉我们，他不要我们孤单一个人， 所以当他创造亚当以后，他创造了夏娃，让他们成为有伴侣的人。圣经里面告诉我们说，当上帝创造我们以后，他不让我们留着在这个世界上自己就在地上打滚，不是，他一直想跟我们在一起。所以他就降世为人跟我们在一起的。那他怎么跟我们在一起？现在你看不到他，但是圣经里面告诉我们说，当你在喜乐的时候，他跟你在一起，因为他就在你的身边。第二个就是当你孤单的时候，或者你在痛苦的时候，他也跟你在一起，他了解你，你可以跟他对话，你可以借着祷告跟他讲话，你不是对空气讲话。因为当你认识他的时候，当你经历他的时候，你知道他就在你的身边。第三个，上帝借着耶稣基督降生在这个世界上，他在什么时候跟我们在一起？当我们犯罪的时候。有很多人在犯罪的时候就盼望没有人知道，但是耶稣什么都知道。当我们犯罪的时候，他会忧伤；当我们犯罪的时候，他会不舒服。当你跟他在一起的时候，你会觉得他也觉得不舒服，他盼望能够帮助你解决。特别是当你对他说，主，我做坏事情了，当你愿意敞开你的心对他承认你的错的时候，你的罪的时候，他愿意赦免你。为什么他愿意赦免你？因为他来到这个世界，曾经上了十字架，流了宝血，为了你他付出了代价，他为罪，不是他犯罪，是我们人类的罪，他付上了代价，所以他可以赦免我们，他可以拯救我们。这就是今天江牧师的信息，上帝跟我们同在，他不但跟我们同在，最重要的目的就是要拯救我们，让我们在今生今世有更大的祝福跟恩典。他提了好几件很有趣的事情，就是他孤单的时候，特别他受洗的时候，那个韩国的牧师跟他讲说，因为用韩国话给你施洗，所以呢你听不懂没有关系，你 当牧师讲完你就说是就好了。他当时觉得好孤单的，但是呢他可以感受到那种爱就在那个周围。他有一次他的朋友做坏事情，也把他拉在旁边，那个朋友不错，那个朋友说，跟你没有关系，我承担所有一切。他感受到那个朋友，第一次他经验到就像耶稣基督愿意承担我们所有的罪一样。所以求主帮助我们，让我们在他的里面记得耶稣来了，他不但要跟我们在一起，他要拯救我们，这是最美的祝福。我们感谢主。我们感谢主。我现在要来继续读第二段的圣经，我们来读第二段的圣经，就是马太福音第二章。我们继续读马太福音第二章。
So we're going to continue reading our passage today. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 2.
我们从第二章的第一节念到第十二节。
So we're going to read Matthew chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 12.
第二章的第一节开始到十二节，如果你翻到的话，我们就一起来诵读。我们先读中文，然后再来读英语。
Okay. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 to 12. We're going to read in Chinese first and then we'll read in English.
第一节，当叙利王的时候，耶稣生在犹太的伯利恒。有几个博士从东方来到耶路撒冷，说那生下来做犹太人之王的在哪里？我们在东方看见他的心，特来拜他。希律王听见了，就心里不安，耶路撒冷合成的人也都不安。他就召齐了祭司长和民间的文士，问他们说，基督诞生在何处？他们回答说，在犹太的伯利恒，因为有先知记着说，犹大地的伯利恒啊，你在犹大诸城中并不是最小的，因为将来有一位君王要从你那里出来，牧养我以色列民。当下希律暗暗地召了博士来，细问那星是什么时候出现的，就差他们往伯利恒去，说你们去仔细寻访那小孩子，寻到了就来报信，我也好去拜他。他们听见王的时候就去了，在东方所见的那星忽然在他们前头行，直行到小孩子的地方，就在上头停住了。他们看见那星就大大的欢喜，进了屋子看见小孩子和母亲玛利亚，就俯伏拜那小孩子，揭开宝盒，拿黄金乳香末药为礼物献给他。博士因为在梦中被主指示不要回去见希律，就从别的路回本地去了。
Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 to 12. Friends, if you can read it with me, the word of the Lord says this: Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he who hath been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. When Herod summoned the wise men secretly to ascertain from them what the time the star has appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they have seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
感谢主，我们起来祷告。主啊，求你就帮助，让我们今天在主你面前，盼望借着这段圣经，我们愿意来思考，跟我们的生命有什么关系？求主赐福保守，谢谢你，奉耶稣基督的圣名，阿们。我刚才提到了，就是耶稣基督降生的时候日期不知道，那这些故事从哪里来的？而且我们也说庆祝耶稣的生日大概是在公元后第四世纪，耶稣过了400年以后人家才庆祝他的生日，那这些故事从哪里来的？是不是到400年以后，哇，大家看到耶稣很厉害，所以耶稣给他创造这些故事，然后就写在圣经里面？我在这里要回答我们诸位，不是。如果你懂圣经，你好好去研究圣经的历史的时候，你会非常的惊讶，旧约新约圣经的四本福音书，马太、马可、路加、约翰，这四本书 是在公元后大概60年到70年之间，约翰福音比较慢，大概90年之间写成的。换一句话说，耶稣还活着的时候，这些故事就已经传出去了，而且当时见过耶稣基督的人，跟耶稣吃饭的人，看过耶稣讲道的人，行神迹的人，还没有死，四本福音书就写成了。换一句话说，这一些事是跟耶稣同时代的时候所写出来的。当时没有说，没有像今天记事说某年某月某日什么发生什么事情，没有。而且当时也没有纸，没有笔，当时很重要的就是口传，而那个口传在以色列那个地方是非常非常的神圣的事情。请我们记得这一些话，如果有一个地方不错，诶对，诶不对了，或者写错了，或者说错了，当时还活着的人说啊，那胡扯，这四本福音书就没有意义，就没有意义。所以我在这里告诉我们诸位，这一些所说的，今天从科学的眼光，从历史学的眼光，从考古学的眼光，都可以去考证，的的确确有这些事发生过。刚才我们看到说，东方出现了一颗星星，那颗星在中国的古书里面说那个叫做景星，而且出现不是一天两天，而且出现的差不多有六个月的时间。为什么要引导这一群博士，这里说的博士其实不是，在英语里面叫做 Magi， 是什么呢？是光星术的人。其实在中国古代也好，古巴比伦帝国也好，波斯帝国也好，埃及帝国也好，这些很古老的国家里面都设有一种我们中文叫做青天剑，或者叫做天官。他们在晚上做什么？就观星术，发生了什么事情，会预练到什么事情的时候就告诉君王。而这里所说的是，就有一群专业的晚上专门在看星星的，突然间发现了这么大的一颗星星，而且会移动，他们一看就知道不得了，一定是有一位很伟大的君王降生了。所以他们怎么样呢？他们从好远好远的东方，其实就是波斯，或者是有可能也从埃及，要埃及是在南部，可能性不大，可能是波斯或者是巴比伦那边过来。有人在问说是不是中国？有可能，但是太远了，从那边过来可能不太容易。他们骑着骆驼慢慢过来，而那个星就在他们前面走，他们走的时间蛮长的哈。你知道这一群Major， 这群有观星术的那个专家哈，他们看到那颗星没有掉下来，继续往前走，结果就带他们到哪里？到当时犹太地的首都耶路撒冷。当时他们以为说，帝王之星一定降生在什么？在帝王之家，所以他们就去找谁？就去找当时在耶路撒冷的王，就希律王。希律王是什么呢？是罗马帝国分封的一个王，一个诸侯王，就是管理犹大地而已。这位希律呢，在古代，在圣经里面说，他不是很好的人，而真正的历史也告诉我们说，他是一个非常邪恶的人，没有安全感。当时他已经年老了，快死了，耶稣出生以后不久他就死掉了。当时呢，这一群有身份有地位的天官一来到这里的时候，当然国王接待，嘿，什么事啊？他说我们在东方看见他的星啊， 我们特别来朝拜他。那因为他是王家，他是君王啊，所以一定出生在王家，所以我们来这里打听，糟糕。西律王当时老了不得了，已经没有生育能力了，怎么还有新生的王？那如果这新生王一起来，不是在王家，一定在外面，哇，这个威胁我的王位，你知道这个不得了。他狡猾到这个一个程度，他也不知道说到底有什么事情，所以他就叫犹太人的那些读熟读圣经就熟读旧约的人，来来来来来，告诉我们圣经里面有没有预言说有什么君王要降生啊？你知道那些犹太人的律法学者毫不思索的马上跟他们讲，就在伯利恒。为什么？因为早在耶稣降生之前的500多年，有一位先知叫做米迦，对不起，不是500多年，700多年，他跟谁呢？跟以赛亚同个时代，当时犹大国还没有亡国，他就说以后伯利恒这个原来是谁呢？是大卫王的老家，将来在那个地方，虽然伯利恒很小，像一个村小乡村而已了，将来这个地方是不得了。因为这样怎么样呢？因为将来有一个大君王要从那里降生出来。所以就跟他讲说在伯利恒。既然他是在伯利恒，他就回去告诉说在伯利恒离耶路撒冷没有多远，大概8公里左右就可以去了。但是当时西律王就讲一句话说，你们去的时候哈，回来再告诉我他住哪里，我也去拜他。哇，这些有聪明的星象学家说好好好，一定一定。结果那颗星在晚上的时候，他们就跟着星走，只走到什么地方？只走到耶稣住，他们已经住在房子里面了，那个时候已经不是在马槽里面了。换一句话说，耶稣已经从马槽那个地方搬到有房子的地方住了，而且住在房子里面的那个星星的光就照在那里。他们进去果真看到一个婴孩，他们就拿出3个宝贝，第一个黄金，第二个是乳香，第三个是末药，就奉献给耶稣。这3个礼物不是只有3个聪明的那个星象学家来献给耶稣，因为去拜耶稣的可能不是只有3个，但是他们奉献了3样东西。这3样东西，一个是黄金，黄金代表什么呢？代表君王的高贵。乳香，乳香是什么呢？乳香是在古代哈，在圣殿里面点那个香，然后在点香的时候呢，祭司代表以色列百姓在献祭给神，所以那代表耶稣就像祭司一样来到这个世界，要把自己献给神。然后最后末药，末药是干什么？末药是摸擦死人的身体的药，防腐的。那是在预表什么呢？预表耶稌基督来到这个世界很重要的目的是要为全人类死。所以这3样东西刚刚好在表明耶稣来到这个世界的目的跟作为是什么。很有意思，弟兄姊妹，我今天的重点在最后，我现在要讲这颗星星出现在那个地方，而且不是一天，不是2天，全世界不知道有多少人看见。 中国人看见了，把它记载在中国的古书《汉书》里面。但是很有意思的意思就是，这一些星象学家知道这是帝王之星，来朝拜了。他告诉叙利王了，叙利王也问了当时犹太人，犹太人都是信耶和华神的，他们也知道旧约圣经有这个预言，而且旧约圣经里面提到耶稣的降生，还有他在世界要做的事情，还有提到他死他升天的事情，在旧约圣经里面起码有300处，所以那一些人熟得不得了。所以当希腊希律王在问说将来那个基督这个大卫的后裔将来要降生在哪里，他们毫不犹豫的回答就在伯利恒。这一群人知道，很有意思，竟然没有人去看耶稣。你有没有发现，请你记得一件很重要的事情，为什么只有这一些博士们，这一些星象学家们，他们去看耶稣？因为他们关心，他们知道这是大事，他们需要去朝拜，走了好几个月的时间，就是为朝见耶稣。而住在耶路撒冷的，听到这个消息，连一点点兴趣都没有。我不知道你有没有觉得很奇怪，你这段圣经你有没有发现只有两种人，两个人有兴趣。第一个是这一些星象学的博士，他们是带着诚恳的心要去朝拜耶稣。另外一个很有兴趣也想去拜他是谁？希律王。但是希律王是什么心呢？嫉妒、谋杀，而且坏心眼。我们把这件事情放到现在，弟兄姊妹，如果耶稣基督出生了，你听到这个消息了，哦，原来这样而已。然后，哦，那就是圣诞节，哦，我听到了，而已。哦，圣诞节很好，可以交换礼物。哦，圣诞节好，很好，可以吃一顿。请你记得，如果你对圣诞节只是这样的了解，我敢保证圣诞节跟你一点点关系都没有。圣诞节最重要的目的就是让我们知道这一位救主已经来了，你愿意亲近他，你愿意跟他在一起，你的生命必定不一样。那是最重要的目的，让我们一起庆祝圣诞节。如果我们是为了吃喝玩乐，为了有一点享受，为了跟朋友在一起，我在这里很抱歉的跟我们讲，圣诞节跟你一点点意义都没有关系，连丁点的关系都没有。所以有一位很出名的神学家，他讲了一句很有趣的话，他说如果在你的有生之年你可以有机会庆祝100次的圣诞节，表示你可以活100年啊，但是没有一次你邀请那位耶稣进入你的生命，你再庆祝多，那个圣诞节都没有意义，对你一点点意义都没有。如果每一次的圣诞节到了你就是去跳舞狂欢，那更对你没有意义。圣诞节最美的祝福就是你愿意敞开你的心，你说耶稣，我知道我不是一个完美的人，耶稣我知道我有很多肮脏污秽的思想，耶稣我知道我不完美， 我需要一个完美的神成为我的帮助，成为我的神，成为我的救主，成为我的带领。当你愿意这样做的时候，圣诞节对你就有绝对的意义，而且最重要的意义就在你的生命里。因此我在这里呼吁我们当中有好多还没有信主的，或者是朋友带你来的，欢迎你，好不好？尝试一下，如果众人所说的这位耶稣跟其他的神明不一样，好不好试一试？在中国清朝末年的时候，有一位很出名的学者，姓徐，他很讨厌基督教，特别对那些洋人来在中国传什么道啊，他讨厌的不得了。但是他吸毒很厉害了，我把他家产都吸得光光了。有一次他听说那些洋牧师啊，不是洋人啊，在争什么征文比赛写文章，然后呢出了几个题目，然后如果这些题目你去投稿，然后他们比他看以后可以得奖，而且得奖还不少哦，第一名的好像是五两啊，然后再来三两，还有一两，哇，都保几名啊。他说这个写文章对我来讲是很简单的事情，但是我一定要去学习，如果不学习不去看他的圣经，我怎么知道他在讲什么？他就好好去研究圣经，然后就去研究一些书等等，然后再提笔写了。他用他自己的名，还用借两个别人另外取两个名字了，都不是他的名字了，然后呢送了三篇上去，结果一共被录取好像有五六篇了，他那三篇全部中奖，他很高兴去领奖，跟这群洋人在一起。后来他把那些钱拿回来以后，他心里开始觉得好像有一个力量在跟他讲，你这个是欺骗哦。他开始觉得奇怪，怎么会有那种感觉？后来因为他读了很多基督教的书籍，他才认识这一位洋教所说的耶稣是谁。而且他当时烟瘾已经很厉害，他开始就跟这些洋人的牧师有接触，他后来就相信耶稣。你知道他后来为了断掉这个不好的习惯，他说耶稣，如果你能够帮助我把这个烟戒掉，我就相信你。他不去戒毒中心，他就自己怎么样，就在家。后那个因缘起来的时候是不得了，然后他就一直呼求主啊，如果你是耶稣，你是我救我。这个人经过差不多两个礼拜的挣扎，他完全得到释放。后来他把他的名字改作席圣摩，席他是主席的席哈，席圣魔，胜过什么？胜过魔鬼。他后来成为一个很好的牧师，他在中国好多地方开了好几场好多戒毒中心，做什么？帮助戒毒的人，也带领他们信耶稣。所以请我们记得，耶稣就是这一位神，他愿意帮助我们，让我们的生命不再一样。求主帮助。这里一段圣经告诉我们说，东方的博士说，我们在东方看见他的心， 特来拜他。求主帮助，他们来了，他们得着了。但是那一些知道但是不去的，或者心存歹毒的，一点点救恩就不在他们身上。我求主帮助，当我们今天有机会听到耶稣，盼望我们更多人愿意敞开我们的心说，主啊，我愿意。而且我在这里对所有的基督徒讲，包括也对我自己，不要忘记你被耶稣基督救赎了，但是记得在你的生命里面，在我的生命里面，我们这个身体还有罪性存在，很容易如果我们不在耶稣基督里面，我们的生命会被搅和。求主帮助，让耶稣基督的爱恩典进入我们生命里面，不管你是不是已经信了，让耶稣成为你最好的帮助。
Friends, I'm going to translate Pastor Chang's message. His title was For We Saw His Star. So, as we hear the story, I just wanted to share with you, do you know when the story, if we don't know where his birth was, then where did the story come from? Does the story sound like it was made up sometime? Maybe after Constantine turned this into the state's faith? We want to share with you that's incorrect, is inaccurate. Because if you understand the compilation of the gospel messages in scripture, then you understand that these four gospels that we have, it was written about 60 or 70 years of the time of Christ's ascension. John's a little later, about 90 years. But it was written with eyewitness accounts. The stories that were shared in the Gospels were told by people who walked with Jesus, who ate with Jesus, who saw Jesus, who talked to Jesus. They were real people. And this was a community, a gathering at a time in antiquity where it wasn't just recorded and dated. It was oftentimes through verbal communications. So people gathered and shared stories about Jesus. And so if any of these stories in the gospel is actually inaccurate, it would have been easily dismissed. It would have been easily disregarded as false. So we can guarantee you the scripture, the words are written in the gospels is proof that the scenes actually happened. And so we can guarantee that the story that we read today about this star appearing in Bethlehem was an accurate rendition. And as the story goes, that the Middle East, a star appeared. It wasn't just for a few days. It was for, as Chinese records have shared, it's about 6 months. And so these magi or wise men, right? And in Chinese, it sounds like professor, right? But if you know who they are, in all these pagan regions and understandings, is there's always a field, a group, and you can actually be, you know, make a career out of it back then. But you were astrologist, right? And what you do is you read the stars to see what's going on in the world. And so these wise men from the East saw this giant star, and they knew something was happening in the world. And the message was simple and clear, as if you were an astrologist, you would know. A great king is coming. And so as they saw the star, they decided, we gotta go and see. So they traveled from a long way. We're not sure where these magi came from. Some argued and asked, could it be from China? Maybe, but that's way too far. Right? And so they followed the star all the way to Jerusalem. Why? Because they saw it getting closer and closer. And the assumption is it's got to be, if it's about the coming of a new king, a great king, it's got to be from where the king is. So they went into Jerusalem and into the king's city, and they met Herod and asked the question, who is this? Where is this new king coming from? You guys have to realize King Herod, on record in scripture and also in historically, wasn't a great king. And he basically was getting old around this time. He was dying pretty ironic death, I'll say. But you got to think about it. He's old and dying. And when these magi came from nowhere and said, where is this new king? Of course, he freaked out. He got scared because he's old. How is he going to have a new king coming? So it's got to be that someone is coming after the throne. And so he got worried and scared. So he went to talk to the scholars of scripture, and he asked them, can this be true? And automatically the scribes have said, oh, that's easy. It's going to be in Bethlehem, right? Because it's in the prophecy of Micah. It's going to be in town of David. And so Bethlehem wasn't too far from Jerusalem. So maybe that's why the Magi thought that it was in Jerusalem first. And so Herod sent them off, and Herod tried to tell these Magi, I want to see them too. So after you see the king, let me know so I can go and see him and worship him. And so they walked and to travel to Bethlehem. And you guys have realized, Jesus is no longer in a manger. This was days after the birth. And they stayed in a house. That's what the narrative said. But the light stayed shining. And as they went in to visit Jesus and worship him, they came bearing their precious gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And oftentimes, this is where tradition thinks that there was three Magi, but it could be more, right? Three items that were very significant and symbolic in a sense. Gold meant for royalty. It was a king. Kings have gold. Frankincense. If you guys don't know what frankincense is, it's the incense that the priests plays for worship that will let it arise to heaven in their prayers. And it shows a symbolic feature that Christ would be a priestly offering to God. And then the myrrh. Myrrh, right? Myrrh was a burial ointment. You use it for burial. And it's the idea and symbolic assignment of Christ that he would die for our sins. So what's the story's point for that Pastor Chang was trying to share? The star didn't stay in the sky for 1 or 2 days. It stayed for a while. And the problem is not many people saw the star on record. The Chinese did. They recorded it. So we get a plus one, right? The pagan Magi was the ones who saw the star, and they knew it was a new king, and they went. No one else came to see Jesus, really, if you think about it. The scribes of Herod heard Herod asking this question because he was concerned. The scribes said what, easily? Oh, if this is going to happen, if that's what it says, it's in prophecy. It's happening. It's in Bethlehem. But they didn't go either. Herod didn't go. These scribes didn't go. These scholars didn't go. Why only the wise men went to see Jesus? For some reason, these pagan non-followers of God decided to go. Because they knew it was important. They knew it was important that they traveled this long distance to go. And the people in Jerusalem, Herod, did nothing about it. Isn't that odd? As you can see, there are two types of people that wanted to go. There were these pagans that went bearing gifts. And then there was Herod, who wants to go too, but for different motives and agendas. They went with evil in his heart. He wanted to go with evil in his heart. So we want to contextualize this for today. If Christ came again, this is why we celebrate the Christmas message, right? But what is the intention in your mind when you think about Christmas? Many of us, I think, a lot of times we kind of forget, and so it turns into the most wonderful time of the year where there's presents and gay happy weddings or something, right? And so that's a song, okay, by the way, right? So, you know, gifts and parties and all these things. It seems like all the things, as we talked about in the beginning of our prompt, that the church was successful of with Constantine, we're turning it around again, isn't it? I think we have lost the important significance and the point of Christmas. If the purpose of Christmas is not that Jesus came to this world to be experienced, then if we see Christmas as a festive event, there is no point to celebrate Christmas. You lost it. And there's a great theologian that shares, you can spend 100 Christmases or 100 years of Christmas, right, without one time inviting Jesus into our lives, we just lived a pointless celebration. The blessing of Christmas is that we get an opportunity to remind ourselves to open our hearts. That when we confess our sins, fullness, when we open our hearts, the hearts that were dirty, full of hatred, full of evil, full of darkness. And we open our hearts and recognize that I need a righteous Savior to save us because I cannot save myself. Then Christmas has meaning. So we recognize and we know that there's a few friends around us here in this room that have yet to follow Jesus. And so we want to encourage you and challenge you to taste and see how good this God is. So Pastor Chang shared a story of this Chinese gentleman named Su, right? And he hated Christians, especially pastors, missionaries, right? And so he really detested them. But he heard that these pastors were holding this writing contest, right? And he's like in his mind saying, I could do this. Because the reward was great. It was a great reward. There's great money if you win this contest. And in his mind, he was like, this is easy. I can do this. It's so easy. I can write. But he's like, all right, if I need to write this, I'm going to need to study, right? Because if they're asking me questions about scripture, I don't know scripture, so I'm going to have to study. So he decided to start to study scripture, and he began to start writing these essay contests. He sent in three submissions, right? He put one in secret names and stuff. And what happened was, in the end, all three of his submissions won. So he was astonishingly excited. And then as he was collecting this money, excited about it, he felt something tugging him. He felt a voice kind of telling him that you are deceiving me. You're scamming me. He started to realize and recognize from all those things that he studied, he started to realize who Jesus was. He started connecting with the pastors, started to learn more about it, and started to realize that Jesus could be real. And so he challenged Jesus, and he says, and he was trying to get rid of his bad habit of smoking. And so he said, Jesus, if you are real, then you will break this bad habit of my cigarette addiction. And so he locked himself away for 2 weeks in his house. And you have to realize, if you have addictions, regardless of what it is, if you are in withdrawal, it's probably one of the worst experiences that you can have in your life. But 2 weeks later, he overcame. He realized that he overcame, that he changed his name, and I forgot what the Chinese rendition, but the translation goes something like he overcame evil. He became a very great pastor around China, and he was really, really leading other Christians throughout. You have to realize this. From this story, you can share and recognize Jesus wants to change your life. Scripture says the Magi were the only ones that went to worship. And many who knew this whole story, knew the story, knew the prophecies, they didn't go. So friends, today on Christmas, may it be the greatest blessing for us to open our hearts. Not just you guys, but even us as pastors. Open our hearts, not to forget that we've been saved. But we are still capable of sin without Christ in our lives. So may we on Christmas Day, as Christ was born to encounter us personally, may we start to open our hearts to Him. Amen.
Amen. Very good. 弟兄姐妹，我们现在听久了，应该唱一首歌，对不对
？Friends, at this moment, after hearing two messages, I think it's proper for us to respond.
我们要来唱一首歌，就是 "What Child Is This?" 就是何是何婴孩。就是耶稣基督，我这首非常好的一首诗歌，请我们大家一起唱，站起来唱。然后我们等一下要请那个要受洗的人就来坐在第一排，可以吗
？Yes, we want to rise and we're going to sing the song "What Child Is This?"
奇妙婴孩是谁喊我玛利亚怀中夜半将神天使歌颂无人们尽情欢腾真是基督我望天使颂扬无人欢喜快来欢呼 敬拜玛利亚怀中三人，为何看来穷苦未见流马就在他旁边，应当敬畏，应当敬畏，神道赎罪到人间，在世基督我完天使颂扬，无人欢喜向我摇晃，尽众人荡起来拜他，盼望指望带来救恩，应当尽心接待他。在世基督我望天使颂扬，无人欢喜快来欢呼，敬拜玛利亚怀中三人。